Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 74. In this episode, I'll discuss monitoring continuous infusions of neuromuscular blocking agents. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode74. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating using real-time messaging. I invite you to join me and the hundreds of other Pharmacy Nation members there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. The non-depolarizing neuromuscular blocking agents, sisatricurium, rocuronium, and vecuronium, are occasionally given as a continuous infusion in critically ill patients. These medications paralyze all skeletal muscle, including the diaphragm muscle. Neuromuscular blockers, especially the steroid-based rocuronium and vecuronium, are associated with reports of prolonged recovery and myopathy. For this reason, it is critical to use the lowest possible neuromuscular blocker dose for the shortest possible duration. Continuous infusions of neuromuscular blockers are usually given to critically ill patients for one of two reasons. Number one, to facilitate mechanical ventilation, and number two, to prevent movement. When given to facilitate mechanical ventilation, neuromuscular blockers prevent dyssynchrony with the ventilator, stop spontaneous respiration and muscle movement, and improve gas exchange. When given to prevent movement, neuromuscular blockers are used in patients with tetanus, shivering from therapeutic hypothermia, or certain surgical procedures such as esophagectomy occasionally if movement would affect the anastomosis. Because shivering from therapeutic hypothermia usually does not occur once the target temperature is reached, I prefer to use bolus doses of neuromuscular blockers rather than continuous infusions for these patients. It's critical that all staff understand that neuromuscular blockers do not provide sedation or analgesia. Patients must be sedated continuously for the duration of paralysis to avoid an awake and paralyzed scenario. When orienting new critical care nurses, I advocate a dual monitoring strategy for neuromuscular blockers. Number one, clinical goal assessment, and number two, train of four assessment. First, the clinical goal must be identified and assessed. Most often, this goal is compliance with the ventilator. If the clinical goal is not being met, the neuromuscular blocker infusion should be titrated upwards. If the clinical goal is met, then the train of four should be assessed. The train of four is used to assess the depth of paralysis from a neuromuscular blocker. A peripheral nerve stimulator is used to deliver four pulses of electricity, and the twitch from each pulse is counted. The depth of paralysis correlates to the train of four as follows. When four out of four twitches are seen, paralysis is anywhere from 0 to 75%. When three out of four twitches are seen, paralysis is at least 75%. When two out of four twitches are seen, paralysis is 80%. When one out of four twitches seen, paralysis is 90%. And when 0 out of 4 twitches are seen, paralysis is 100%. Assuming the clinical goal is met, the neuromuscular infusion should be titrated to a goal of 1 or 2 out of 4 twitches. If the clinical goal is met and 0 out of 4 twitches are present, The infusion should be briefly held and restarted at a lower rate when 1 out of 4 twitches return. If the clinical goal is met and the patient has 3 or 4 out of 4 twitches, no change probably needs to be made to the rate of infusion. A common pitfall I've seen in neuromuscular blocker monitoring involves incorrect use of the peripheral nerve stimulator for monitoring. Most peripheral nerve stimulators deliver 10 to 70 milliamp impulses and are adjusted in 10 milliamp increments. In an ideal world, the amount of milliamps that gives 4 strong twitches would be determined before the neuromuscular blocker infusion is started. This is done by increasing the milliamp dose in a stepwise fashion, starting at the lowest setting. Once 4 strong twitches are seen, attempt at 1 setting higher. If the twitches are not any stronger, then move back down to the previous setting. Here's an example. 4 strong twitches are seen at 20 milliamps. 30 milliamps is attempted, and the twitches are no stronger than they were at 20 milliamps. The patient's train of 4 would always be assessed then using 20 milliamps on the peripheral nerve stimulator. If the patient is paralyzed before a baseline milliamp dose can be established, choose an arbitrary milliamp dose of anywhere between 20 and 40 milliamps and always assess the patient at this level. Once the neuromuscular blocker infusion is going, if 0 out of 4 twitches occurs, don't increase the milliamp dose during the assessment. This will lead to overuse of the neuromuscular blocker. Instead, look at the clinical goal and make adjustments accordingly. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.